ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ ப்ரஹ்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹாம். சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். சாப்டர் 1 பாதா 3 த்யுப்வாத்யதிகரணம். த்யுப்வாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வம் சப்தாத் ஸ்வசப்தாத். 64th Brahma Sutra, first Sutra of third Pada, first chapter. So in this first Adhikaranam or the third Pada, known as Dhyubvada Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya analyzes Mundaka Upanishad Mantra 2.2.5. Second Mundaka, second section, fifth mantra. That mantra we read in the last class. Yasmin Dhyauhu பிருத்திவி சாந்தரிக்ஷம் ஓத்தம் மனஹா சஹ பிராணைச்ச சர்வைஹி தமேவைக்கம் ஜானத ஆத்மானம் அன்யா வாச்சோ விமுஞ்சத அமிர்தஸ்யேஷ சேதுஹு. So in the first half of this mantra, as we said earlier, the Mundaka Upanishad refers to something that is the substratum of the entire universe, the heavens as well also the earth and everything. So this is referred to in this adhikaranam as dhyubvadyati, dhyubvyat ayatanam. Ayatanam means adharam, vishwadharam, that is presented in the above mantra that we just read in Mundaka Upanishad. And what is this vishwadhara? We want to establish. And vishwadhara brahmaiva is Brahman only. And the Sankhyas, they argue, Vishwadhara refers to the Achetana Tattvam Pradhanam or Prakriti of Sankhya. And in the first sutra, which we completed in the last class, this Vishwadhara is Brahma, Swashabdat. That is how we established it. For this, we gave two interpretations. One, because of the expression Atma occurring in this mantra, the word Atma can refer to only Achetana Tattvam. We mentioned it earlier also. And not to any Achetana Tattvam. And Pradhanam, being Achetanam, it will not fit in here. And the second reason we gave was, because of the clarification by the Upanishad itself, Swa refers to Atma. The Padam Swa refers to Atma. And because of the clarification given elsewhere, where is elsewhere in Chandogya Upanishad, that also we quoted, 6th chapter, 8th section, 4th mantra, where it says, தன் மூலா சௌமியம் இமா பிரஜா சத் ஆயதனா சத் பிரதிஷ்டா. திஸ் மந்திர ஆல்சோ வி ரெட் இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். சத் பிரம்மன் அலோன் இஸ் பிரதிஷ்டா. தென் சங்கராச்சாரியா இன்ட்ரடியூசஸ் அ பூர்வபக்ஷி, விச் வி இன்ட்ரடியூஸ் இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் ஆல்சோ. அண்ட் தி ஃபோர்த் லைன் ஆஃப் தி கரண்ட் மந்திர அமிர்தஸ்யைஷ சேது, தட் இஸ் அ ஃபோர்த் லைன். வி கிவ் டூ இன்டர்பிரிட்டேஷன்ஸ் ஃபார் தட். And the Purvapakshi contends the first interpretation of the fourth line. He says, Yeshaha refers to the pronoun, a line mentioned before. So Yeshaha is Vishwadhara Brahma or Paramatma. And word Setu, according to our first interpretation, refers to a bund or a dam. If you remember the analogy, a bund or a dam which holds water, water holder. And Yeshaha Setu, whom? Brahman is a dam or bund. So if it is a dam, what does it hold? It holds immortality. It is the reservoir. Brahman is the holder of immortality. It is the reservoir of immortality from where one can tap immortality. And based on the first interpretation, he raises two objections. He says, Setu refers to a finite or parichinna or limited entity. Say to a bridge or dam, whichever you want to take it. And since the fourth line refers to Vishwadhara, fourth line we read in the mantra, refers to Vishwadhara, it refers to Setu. And since Brahman is limitless, How can samanvaya be there, consistency be there between Setu and Brahma? That is his question. Even if you accept Setu as a dam also, the holder of Amritasya holder, Amritam. Amritam does not mean immortality here, but Amritam, immortal Brahman. So first, the fourth line refers to Vishwadhara, refers to Setu. And since Brahman is limitless, how can samanvaya can be possible between Setu and Brahman? That is number one. And even if you accept Setu as a dam, the holder of Amritasya means Amritam does not mean immortality, but Amritam, immortal Brahman. Yeshaha, which is according to you, is Setu, a dam of Amritam, and this Brahman is Amritam. That means holder of Brahman is Brahman. Holder of Amritam is Amritam. That is how he interprets. So can water be the holder of water? And Brahman cannot be the holder of Brahman. Holder and the held, whatever is held, they cannot be identical. Water cannot be the holder of water and water. Same way, Brahman cannot be holder of Brahman and Brahman. So they cannot be identical. That is the argument of Purvapaksha. Yeshaha. So Yeshaha should be other than Brahman is his conclusion. And we have to answer the first part of the Purvapaksha. How can you equate Brahman with a limited dam? Dam means the holder of water, whatever. That's the why. Further, Shankaracharya says, it is a foolish approach. He says it is called Gauna Prayogaha. It is like a reservoir. Example and original will not have all features common. Then example will become original. If the example and original have to have all the features common, then example will become original itself. So certain original features will be there, and the dam has water. That means that can be tapped by us and can be made use of as a dam. So availability of water in the dam is example. And so availability of immortal Brahman is there to bless you with immortality. Also, Shankaracharya says, you should not foolishly compare the example, and then you may ask, Brahman is made of mud, cement, and all that thing also, like a dam. And the second Purvapaksha is, how can you say it is holder of immortal Brahman? That was the second question. Further, Shankaracharya answers, even though Amritam means immortal, but in this context, you understand Amritam is Amritatvam, immortality. So Amritam means immortal, but in this context, Amritam means Amritatvam, immortality. So a compromise with the word is allowed if the Tatparyam of the Upanishad requires contextual adjustment. Because we have to be careful in all this interpretation. A compromise with the word Amritam, a compromise with the word meaning, it is allowed if the Tatparyam of the Upanishad requires contextual adjustment. There is nothing wrong. Because Upanishad wants to give us what? Moksha. And it wants to tell us the source of immortality, namely moksha. It is all right. So Amritam is literally immortal. But in this context, it is immortality, immortal and immortality. A person seeks immortality and not immortal. That is a very finite distinction and also a very succinct distinction. A person seeks immortality and not immortal. When we give the answer, Purvapakshi is not satisfied, naturally. He will say, you are all making all this jalam with words. So he says, you compromise with the meaning of the word Amrita. And he even says, it is escapism. That is taking Amritam as Amritatvam, immortality, is escapism. Who says? Purvapakshi says. Then Acharya says, okay, if you are not satisfied, I will give you a second interpretation for the fourth line, to avoid all the compromising with the meaning of the word Amrita. So here we say, Yeshaha. Yeshaha does not mean Brahman at all, but Brahma Jnanam. Not Brahman, but Brahma Jnanam. How can you say so? In the mantra, the first line talks about Brahman. And the third line talks about knowledge. Therefore, Brahman means it talks about Brahma Jnanam. Yeshaha is a pronoun. It refers to normally a nearer thing only, or not something which is very far away. Brahman is nearby, or Brahmajnanam is nearby, if you ask now. The fourth line is closer to the third line, and therefore Yeshaha refers to Brahmajnanam only. And what is the meaning of Setuhu then? Here we say, Setu does not refer to dam at all, not a reservoir or a dam. Another meaning for Setu is a bridge. Here, in Rameswaram, that bridge. So here, bridge means a path, and a path means a sadhana. Therefore, Setu means a sadhanam, and Yeshaha means Brahma Jnanam, Amritasyam, Brahman itself. Now, Yeshaha means this Brahma Jnanam is the means, is the Setu to attain Brahma. That is how we should understand. So, Brahma Veda, Brahma Iva Bhavati. We say, through Brahma Jnanam, you gain Brahma. Brahma Vitim, Apnoti Param. These are all these statements we know from Taittiriya and other Upanishads. So, Yeshaha, Amritasya Setuhu is also justified. The first two lines talk about Brahma. Then the last question, which is an incidental grammar question also. And what is that? The Purvapakshi says, okay, you interpret Yeshaha as Brahma Jnanam given in the third line. And Shankaracharya does not deal with this question at all, actually. Swamiji, actually, he analyzes this question as an aside point. According to Sanskrit, Brahma Jnanam is neuter gender, Jnanam. Akaranta napumsakalingaha jnana shabdaha. So jnanam, jnane, jnanani, all that. And yeshaha is what is masculine. Takaranta pullingaha etat shabdaha. So it is prathama vibhakti, all that. So ekavachan. Now, while Brahma Jnanam is neutral gender, how can it be referred to by a masculine pronoun? That's the question. So after talking of Rama, for example, will we use he or she to refer to Ram, he, she, or it? We talk about Rama. Will we use the word he or she or it? We will only use an appropriate pronoun. And therefore, how do you use the word yeshaha? For that, our answer is, according to grammar rule also, pronoun can take the gender of either the previous word it refers to or that of the future word or predicate which is going to talk about. Sir, all these grammarians talks all kinds of things in all these. So if it corresponds to the previous word, it is called Uddeshe Pradhanam. And if it corresponds to the later word, it is called Videya Pradhanam. So here the pronoun is corresponding to Setu, which comes later. So Yeshaha Setuhu Bhavati, and Setuhu is masculine. Therefore, if we say Yetat Setuhu also, it is okay. Yeshaha Setuhu also is okay. These are all some ways of explaining. So if Yetat Setuhu, we are not too concerned about all that. I just want to only indicate to you how people think. So if Yetat Setuhu is used, then Yetat means Brahma Jnana. If Yeshaha Setuhu is used, then Yeshaha means Setuhu, which is masculine. There is no dosha. This is how they try to analyze this also. Therefore, grammatically, so this is pulling, no dosha is also not there. The gender dosha is also not there. It is also, it's an academic exercise though. What all we need to know is the Dubhyad Ayatanam Brahmaivam. So that Adharam is only Brahman. That is what they want to establish. So Brahma Jnanena Mokshaha. Only through Brahma Jnanam one can get Moksha. So with this, the first sutra is also concluded. Now let us go to the second sutra. Let us read. Muktopa Surupya Vyapadeshat. Second sutra of the third Adhikaranam, of the third pada of the first chapter. So we will now see a general analysis as usual. Here, Vyasacharya points out that Vishwadhara mentioned in Mundaka Upanishad relates to Brahman only. Again and again, same argument. Now, he takes a future mantra in support of his statement from Mundaka Upanishad, third Mundaka, second section, eighth mantra, 3.2.8. Yata nadyaha syandamanaha samudrestam kachanti namarupe vihayam తథా విద్వాన్ నామరూపాద్ విముక్తహం పరాత్పరం పురుషం ఉపైతి దివ్య. దిస్ ఈస్ దట్ మంత్ర 3.2.8 ఆఫ్ ముండక ఉపనిషత్. అండ్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మంత్ర ఈస్ యాజ్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ రివర్స్ దే గెట్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ డిసపియర్డ్ ఇన్ టు ద ఓషన్. There are special names and distinct forms. Everything goes away with that. Ganges, it has the name of Ganges till it merges with the ocean. The moment it merges with motion, Ganges loses its name and form and everything. So also, the wise man, free from all his identifications, a jnani, with the names and forms, goes into the highest of the high, the supreme divinity at the time of moksha. So the mantra talks about the phalam of Brahma Jnana. And it says, Brahma Jnani will merge into Brahman, discussed before as Vishwadhara. Therefore, we can say, Vishwadhara Vidwan or Jnani merges into Brahman. An example is given also here. Just as the rivers merge into the ocean, losing the individuality and Nama Rupa. And what the Purvapakshi says, Vishwadhara is Pradhanam or Prakriti. And Shankaracharya argues, if you take Vishwadhara as Pradhanam, then it will mean knower of Pradhanam will merge into Pradhanam. As the rivers merge into the ocean, here knower of Pradhanam, knower of Pradhanam means knower of Prakriti, inert matter will merge into Pradhanam. Then what will be the Jnanapalam? Vishwadhara Jnani, who is Chetanam, will merge into Pradhanam, which is Achetanam. That means Chetanam will become Achetanam. And that is the Moksha Pada. No, how can we accept it? Therefore, Brahma Jnanena Brahma Paprapthihi Eva. One will get Brahman only. Since Vishwadhara is presented as distinction of a Jnani in Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.8 and also in 2.2.5, which we saw earlier. The second Mundaka, second section, fifth mantra talks about Vishwadhara. Now we have to come and connect them. యస్మిన్ ద్యౌః పృథివీ చాంతరిక్షం ఓతం మనః సహ ప్రాణైశ్చ సర్వైః తమేవైకం జానత ఆత్మానం అన్యా వాచో విముంచత. సో దట్స్ అమృతశేష సేతుః. దిస్ వాట్ వి రెడ్ ఆల్సో. దేర్ఫోర్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ విశ్వాధారా ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ బి ఎ డెస్టినేషన్. అకార్డింగ్ టు పూర్వపక్ష ఈ విశ్వాధారా ఇస్ టేకన్ అస్ ద డెస్టినేషన్ విచ్ షుడ్ బి ప్రధానం విచ్ నోబడి వాంట్స్. హూ వాంట్స్ టు గెట్ ఏ ప్రధాన మోక్ష? నో నీడ్. How Acharya connects two far away mantras. These are all very, very important ways of analyzing these mantras. So this is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis of this mantra, this sutra. This sutra has got only one word. So muktopa srupya vipadeshat, one word, compound word. Muktaha, muktaha means an yajnani, muktaha. Upasrupya, upasrupya means the locus of merja, the gati, the lakshyam, or a goal. And Vyapadeshaha means presentation. So Vishwadhara is Jnani's destination. That is what is presented. Vishwadhara is Brahman because of the presentation of Vishwadhara as the destination of a Jnani. As it is said in mantra 3.2.8. That we just read. Therefore, Vishwadharaha Brahma. So Muktopasrupyam Vyapadeshat. That is how we should understand. Vishwadharaha Brahma Eva is Brahman only. Why? Muktopasupyam Vyapadeshat. So the main idea kept in mind is what? Pradhanam can never be the destination of any person. Pradhanam or Prakriti can never be the destination of any person. With this, the second sutra is also talking about the same thing, trying to establish Vishwadhara is Brahma. Now let us go to the third sutra of this adhikaranam. Let us read that sutra. Na anumanam atachabdhat. Na anumanam atachabdhat. Third sutra of the third pada, first chapter, 66th running number of the Brahma Sutra. So the abode of heaven and all that thing is not that which is inferred, that is pradhana, because there is no term indicating it, the sutra, that is what is being said now. So first let us do the general analysis. So in this sutra, Vyasacharya establishes that Vishwadhara is not Pradhanam. Again and again, same argument, which is a basic inert matter. Pradhanam is inert matter, as per Sankhya philosophy, out of which the whole creation has come. From Prakriti only the entire thing evolved. And what the reason that Vyasacharya gives in this sutra here? The reason is, there are no expressions in the Upanishad which indicate Pradhanam. which are relevant to pradana. No such words at all in the Upanishad. There is no pradana referring expression in the Upanishad. And not only that, all the words in the Upanishad, they are opposed to pradanam also. Not only there is nothing which is referring to that, the other words that are used are also opposed to pradana. By that, Vyasacharya means all the expressions used in the Upanishad indicate chetana tattvam. Because pradanam is achetana, prakriti is achetana, insentient. Whereas all the expressions used in this mantra, they all refer to chetana tattvam as visvadara and none referring to achetana tattvam at all. For example, we saw the word atma. Atma, atmana, we saw that, which refers to chetana tattvam only. And Shankaracharya in his commentary also quotes another important mantra, Mundaka mantra, from the first Mundaka, first section, ninth mantra. Yes, sarvajnaham, sarvavit, yasya jnanamayam tapaham, tasmat, etad brahma nama, rupam, annam, na, channancha jayate. So that is that. We have read this mantra also earlier. So the sarvajna, the omniscient, we find that omniscient principle is chetanam. All the words in the mantras are chetana vakyams only. Sarvajnaha, sarvavit, jnanamayam tapaha, tasmad etad brahma, nama rupam annancha jayate. So this, all these things refer to only chetana vastu. And because of the absence of relevant expressions, vishwadhara is not pradhan. There is no expression relating vishwadhara to pradhanam in this mantra. So it is not pradhan. Hence vishwadhara is brahman only. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Na. Na means not. It's not. And the next word is anumana. Anumanam refers to vishwadhara, the substratum of the world. Is not, anumanam is not pradhana according to Sankhya. So the basic matter, we have discussed this before also. According to Sankhya philosophy, pradhanam is never perceptible. The basic matter cannot be perceived, but it can only be inferred. So it can be inferred. It is called inferable or inferred substance. Normally, anumanam means inference. But in this context, anumanam refers to inferred substance. And the inferred substance is pradhanam. Anumanam is pradhanam. Therefore, vishwadhara is not pradhanam. And the next word is what? Atat shabdat. Atat shabdat. Tat atat. This consists of atat, absence of tat, tat. Tat is that, and atat, absence of that. That pradhana vachaka. So that shabda expression. That means pradhana vachaka shabda abhavat, because it is not there, because of the absence of the expressions relevant to pradhanam, we conclude that vishwadhara is brahman only. We are just only quickly looking, because there are various reasons Acharya wants to have. Vyasacharya puts. So we are just quickly looking at each one of these sutras. And the next sutra is Prana Bhritcha. Prana Bhritcha. Fourth sutra, third pada. First chapter. First, let us do again as usual the general analysis of this sutra. And in the previous sutra, Vyasacharya has negated pradhana, prakriti. In the following four sutras, Vyasacharya establishes that Vishwadhara is not jiva also. Because why this doubt should come? Vishwadhara can be jiva. Because in the mantra 2.2.5 of Mundakopanishad that we read just about a few minutes ago, the third line said, Tamevaikam janata atmana manya. That is how it is given in that mantra. So in the Shastra, there are two meanings for atma that we know. One is jivatma, another is paramatma. And we need not take pradhanam, which is achetana, because atma is chetana vastu. So it can be either jivatma or paramatma only. We don't have to take pradhanam at all. Since jivatma is also chetanam, this doubt can come, whether it is jivatma or paramatma. And Vyasacharya takes pains to establish vishwadhara is not jivaha. All the Upanishads, they express chetana atma shabda only. Atma is chetana. I want to add the incidental Purvapaksha also connected to earlier Purvapaksha. And Vishwadhara can be Vayu also supported by Brihadaranyaka. We have seen that Akshara Brahmana. We went through Akshara Brahmana in detail, where the expression is by Vayu alone, Prana alone, the whole world is supported in Brihadaranyaka. Since Vayu is presented as Vishvadhara, the third sutra negates Vayu also because of the same reason, Vayu Vachaka Shabda Abhava. There is no reference to that particular word at all. So because of that, it is not that. So just as Pradhanam is Achetanam, Vayu also is Achetanam. Whereas Mundaka Upanishad says, Sarvavith, Sarvajnaha. And from that it is clear that it should be only a Chetana Vastu and not Vayu. And here in the fourth sutra, Vyasacharya negates another Purva Pakshi on the Mundaka Mantra. In the third line, Atma is used as Vishwadhara, as the substratum of the universe. So the word can refer to Jivatma or Paramatma, that is our controversy. Now what's the controversy? Whether Vishwadhara is Jivatma or Paramatma. And our view is Vishwadhara is not Jivatma, but it is Paramatma only. And before we go further, we will add an aside topic also. These are all situations very confusing for Advaitic students. From this, it becomes indirectly clear. And Vyasachari is totally, he differentiates Paramatma and Jivatma and asserts Paramatma is Vishwadhara. I hope by now you might have understood where I am going with this. Vyasacharya totally differentiates Paramatma and Jivatma and he asserts Paramatma is Vishwadhara. That means what? Vyasacharya seems to indirectly establish Jivatma Paramatma Beda. And this Adhikaranam seems to support Vedavadi. Advaitin has to clearly understand this Adhikaranam correctly. Vedanta, especially Brahma Sutra, equally establishes Jivatma and Paramatma Aikyam also. As much it talks about Veda, it also talks about Aikyam equally vehemently. Therefore, especially in Shankara Bhashyam, he establishes Veda and Abheda both. Those who read Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, they criticize Shankara himself. Shankara himself does not know what he wants to say. And even he is not clear about the Jivatma and Paramatma Aikyam. And therefore, some people introduced a new philosophy also called the Veda Abheda Vada. Veda Abheda Vada. So what is our answer for that? We establish the difference from Vyavaharika Drishti. This is what people don't keep track of. We have the Paramarthika Drishti and Vyavaharika Drishti. We establish the non-different. The difference from Paramarthika Drishti, we establish non-difference, no Veda. And then the question can come, Vyavaharika Drishtiya Vedaha, the differences from relative are empirically established, they establish, and it is not different from day-to-day life. In day-to-day life is only Veda Drishti. Everything is Veda only we see. Shastra need not say what we already know. Why Shastra should tell you Veda Drishti at all? No need. Because in practical world, everything is Veda, everything is plurality only. So why should Shastra vehemently establish Veda? No need. For us, it is important because Sankhya philosophers do not accept Ishvara, even at Vyavaharika level. That is the problem. He accepts Vyavaharika Jiva and he accepts Vyavaharika Jagat, but he does not accept Vyavaharika Ishvara. Therefore, we have twofold job now to do. One is, number one, Vyavaharika Drishti, we have to establish Vyavaharika Ishvara different from Vyavaharika Jiva and Vyavaharika Jagat. This is we have to establish. From Vyavaharika Drishti, we have to establish Vyavaharika Ishvara as different from Vyavaharika Jiva and Vyavaharika Jagat. And in this talk, task we take that the Dvaita philosophers also. We all become one Vedantins when it comes to this particular thing in facing Sankhya. Dvaita philosophers, Vedantins, all of them become one when it comes to dealing with Sankhya. And while facing Sankhya, we establish Ishvara and we say that Ishvara is different from Jiva and Jagat. And we say that Ishvara is Adharam, support. And Jiva and Jagat are Adheyam, supported. And after establishing that, we go to Dvaitin. And Visishta Advaitins. And we have an internal difference there. Whether Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara Veda is Vyavaharikam and not Paramarthikam. So that is another difference we resolve with Dvaitins and Visishta Advaitins. Here in this sutra, our drishti is Ishvara is different from Jiva, complete Veda. Vishwadhara Paramatma and not Paramatma from Vyavaharika Drishti. And if you understand this, there is no problem. Then Vedanta will become very simple. Vishwadhara is Paramatma and not Jivatma. And the reason we have to borrow from the previous shloka by Anuvritti. Anuvritti means flow. For example, when we say Rama has gone to the forest and we say Lakshmana also, what does it mean? Even if you don't say explicitly that Lakshmana also went to forest, it follows, it flows that he also went to forest. It's called Anuvritti. Therefore, here also the reason has to be taken from the previous sutra. Atat shabdat. Atat shabdat. At jiva vachaka shabda abhavat. In the previous sutra, we said pradhana vachaka shabda abhavat. Because there is no pradhana shabda at all. Nothing referred to pradhanam. We should be careful here. Because there it was achetana vayu vachaka shabda abhavat. Achetana vayu. But here, jiva is not achetana. There it is achetana, but here jiva is chetana. So there's a slight difference. So it should be alpajna jivaha. Alpajna, not achetana jiva vachaka ashabda bhavat. I hope you are with me. There when we talked about vayu, vayu prana is achetana. So no problem. Achetana vayu vachaka shabda bhavat, because that expression was not there. Then we could easily say that. But when we talk about jiva, jiva is not achetana. So we cannot use the same logic here. So it has to be put differently. So it should be, instead of saying achetana jiva, we should say alpajna jiva vachaka shabda bhava. Jiva is alpajna. Ishvara only is sarvajna. So alpajna jiva vachaka shabda bhava. Then there are no expression to reveal alpajna jiva. On the other hand, it is talking about sarvajna chetana shabda vachaka vartate. Sarvajna chetana shabda. So that alone is there. Natum alpajna chetana vachaka shabda abhavat. Therefore, Vishwadhara does not refer to jivaha at all. This is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis. The sutra has got two words, simple sutra. Prana brithe and cha. Prana brithe means prana brithe and cha. And we have to supply three words to complete the sutra. One is Vishwadharaha. Another is na, and another is atat. Atat we borrow from the previous sutra. Atat. Atat shabdat. Therefore, the full sutra is what? Vishwadharaha na pranabrite chab na pranabrite atat shabdat. That is how the sutra should be expanded and understood. Vishwadharaha na pranabrite atat shabdat. Of this, we know the meaning of Vishwadharaha and na. Vishwadhara, we know, na means it's not. And the next word, these two, we don't have to again go through analysis. And then the same meaning only. And the next word is pranabrita. Pranabrita refers to jivatma. Jivatma is a prani. We are all prani only. Pranam means pranam vibharti iti pranabrita. That which holds prana in the body for some time. For some time. And that which carries prana from one body to another. Subject to punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle. So all are pranis. And that prani is called pranabrit here. Therefore, Vishwadharaha is not jivaha. Jivaha means jivana, jivatma. Cha means also. And why this also comes here? Because in the previous sutra it was said, Vishwadhara is not pradhanam, not vayu. And now we add jivatma also. So Vishwadhara is not pradhanam, it's not vayu, and not jivatma also. Then atat shabdat. Because of the absence of expression which are relevant to jivatma, namely alpajnaha and all, samsari. Jivatma is samsari, jivatma, alpajnaha, alpashaktiman. So because of the absence of those expressions relating to jivatma, it is not jivatma also. And in fact, opposite expressions are there. Like for example, in the first mundaka, first section, ninth mantra, yes sarvajnaha sarvavitu yasya jnanamayam tapaham tasmati etad brahma nama rupam annam cha jayate. They already read this mantra. So with this, the fourth sutra is also over. Each sutra gives one reason. Now we go to the fifth sutra at the same adhikarana. Bheda vyapadeshat. Simple sutra. Bheda vyapadeshat. fifth sutra, third pada. And this sutra also establishes Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. Same topic only in all these four sutras. Here a new reason is given. And what is that reason? Vyasacharya says that the very same Mundaka mantra 2.2.5 that we read earlier, it indicates the difference of Jivatma from Vishwadhara. And how does it indicate that? Again, we go to the third line of this mantra, which we just read, which says, Tamevaikam janatam atmanamanya. That is the line we read in that mantra, 2.2.5 of Mundaka. And the first two lines talk about Vishwadhara. And the third line, the Upanishad says, may you know, janata, may you know that Vishwadhara. Janata is actually second person. In that statement, you is presented as subject of knowledge and Vishwadhara as the object of knowledge. And from this, it is clear. What is clear? The knower, you, the Jivatma and Vishwadhara, which is to be known, they have subject-object difference. You, the knower, the Jivatma and Vishwadhara, what is to be known, there is the subject-object difference. And because of the subject-object Veda indicated in the third line. So the Upanishad does not say that Jivatma is subject and Paramatma is object. It only says, may you know the Vishwadhara. See how you should understand. May you know the Vishwadhara. You, the knower of Vishwadhara, have to be different from Vishwadhara, the known. So the Upanishad itself indicates the difference. And therefore, it is not Jivatma. That is the conclusion we draw. This is the general analysis. Now we'll come to the word analysis. It has one word only again. Beda Vipadeshat, a compound word. Beda Vipadeshat. And we have to again supply three words as we did earlier. Vishwadharaha, Na, and Pranabhrita from the previous sutra. So what will be the full sutra now? Vishwadharaha, Na, Pranabhrita, Beda Vipadeshat. Vishwadharaha na pranabrit, Beda Vipadeshad. Vishwadhara is not pranabrit, means jiva, because Beda Vipadeshad. Vishwadhara is not because of this particular reason. Now, we know the first three words from the previous sutra we already saw. We have to only see the meaning of Beda Vipadeshad of this sutra. And again, as I told, it's a compound word with two words, namely Beda and Vipadeshad. Beda, we know, is difference, distinction between what and what, that we have to supply. Jivatma, Paramatma, Beda. And the next word is Vipadesha. Vipadesha means indication, revelation, or a hint, clue. Therefore, what is the final meaning of the word Beda Vipadesha? Because of the indication of difference between Jivatma and Paramatma, as the subject and object of knowledge in mantra 2.2.5 of Mundaka Upanishad, third line, we have to be so specific. Otherwise, it will be so confusing. Because of the indication of difference between Jivatma and Paramatma, as the subject and object of knowledge in mantra 2.2.5 of Mundaka Upanishad, third line. And how does it show that they are subject and object? Because the Upanishad says, may you, Jivatma, Janata, know the Paramatma. Therefore also, Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. Now let us go to the next sutra. Prakaranat, simple word, Prakaranat, sixth sutra of the third pada. And this sutra also establishes the same idea that Vishwadhara is not Pranabhrit. Pranabhrit means Jivatma, is not Jiva. For which a third reason is given here. What was the first reason? It was not directly said, but we borrowed. Atat shabdat, atat shabdat. That is the first reason. And the Beda Vipadeshat from the next sutra is the second reason. And now Prakaranat is the third reason from this sutra. All reasons established, Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. All these three reasons, they are directed towards Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. So here the reason that Vyasacharya gives is what? Because the context is Paramatma, it is not Jivatma. Context is, we are talking about Paramatma, where Jivatma comes. That's a very important argument in this Shastra. Because in Shastra, contextually we understand many things. Even though the expressions may not be explicit, we may understand things based on the context. And how do you understand the context? For that we have to study Muttaka Upanishad. Because this particular mantra is from there. So here Vyasacharya quotes a mantra from the Muttaka Upanishad, from the first Muttaka, first section, third mantra, where the student asks the question, Shavana Kohavai Maha Shalaham Angirasam Vidivat Upasanna Prapracham Papracham Kasmin Bhagavaha Vijnate Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavati Iti. Very famous mantra. Shavana Kohavai Maha Shalaha Angirasam Vidivat Upasanna Papracham. So he approached the guru, Vidivat, as full formal way, as exactly said in the Shastras. He approached the guru and asked, Kasmin Bhagavaha Vijnate Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavati Iti. By knowing what, the entire thing will be known. That was the question. And contextually, we understand many things. In the third mantra, the student asks the question, what is that knowing which we know everything? That is the question asked in this mantra. So, Karana Vijnanena Karya Vijnanam Bhavati. By knowing the ultimate cause, all the karyam effects are known. Therefore, jagat karana vijnanena jagat karya vijnatam bhavati. By knowing jagat karanam, you will know the jagat as a karyam. Therefore, the very question is, what is the root cause of the universe? That is the question. It is certainly not about jivatma. Root cause of the universe is not jivatma, because jiva is somebody who appears in the universe. Jiva is not the cause of the universe. He is a miserable person, samsari, suffering birth, death cycle. We don't know for how long. Therefore, the question is about Ishwaraham Paramatma. And therefore, later also, the same Muttaka Upanishad says, Yattadadreshyam, Agrahyam, Agotram, Avarnam, Achakshuhu, Shrotam, Tat, Apani, Padam, Nityam, Vibhum, Sarvagatam, Susukshmam, Tadavyayam, Yad Bhutayonim, Paripashyanti Dhiraha. These are all very familiar mantras to us because we have quoted so often. And this is what this mantra is from the first Muttaka, first section, sixth mantra. Tapasa chiyate brahma tatonam abhijayate annat prano manaha satyam lokaha karma srijamritam. Again, same eighth mantra of the same section of the first Muttaka. And also in the next section, tadetat satyam yata sudeeptat papakka dispulingaha sahasrashaha prabhavante sarupaha tata aksharad vividaha somya bhavaha rajayante tatra chaiva piyanti. In the second Muttaka, first section, first mantra. And again, the same section of the second Muttaka, tenth mantra. Purusha evedam vishwam karma tapo brahma paramrutam yetadyo veda nihitam guhayam so vidya grantim vikaratiha somya. All these mantras we have done in detail when we did Muttaka Upanishad. Please refer to those lectures. So it talks about Jagat Adhara Paramatma. Whenever it clearly does not talk about Paramatma, we should see the context and arrive at the conclusion. So contextually we should understand. Here, taking the context into account, we find that Vishwadhara is not Jivatma but Paramatma alone. When we see the entire, all these mantras, even though Paramatma is not explicitly said anywhere. This is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis. The sutra has got only one word, Prakaranat, and we have to supply as usual three words, Vishwadhara, Na, Prana, Brita, Prakaranat. So that is how the full sutra will be, Vishwadhara, Na, Prana, Brita, Prakaranat. Now Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. Pranabrit is Jivatma, we already explained. So Prakaranat. Prakaranat means context. Because of the context of Paramatma, Jivatma is not Vishwadhara. Because of the context of Paramatma, it talks about Paramatma only, Jivatma is not Vishwadhara. And the context is decided by the question asked. What is the question you ask? And the answer must be related to the question. Therefore, Pranabrit, Jiva is not Brahman. Pranabrit means Jiva is not Brahman. Now we will come to the seventh sutra and the final sutra of this adhikarana. Sthitya, sthitya dhanabhyam cha. Stityadhanabhyam Cham, seventh sutra of the third pada, the final sutra. This is also the 70th sutra of Urva Sutra. First, we will do the general analysis, where Vyasacharya asserts Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. And Vyasacharya argues in a very direct way. Vyasacharya is asking in an indirect way here. So the reference is mantra 3.1.1 of Mundaka Upanishad, third Mundaka, first section, first mantra of Mundaka. This is the mantra also we have seen earlier. The two birds, that mantra. Dvasuparna Sayuja Sakaya Samana Vriksham Parishaswajate Tayoranyaham Pippalam Swadu Atim Anashnanyaham Abhichakashiti. This mantra we have seen also earlier. And the meaning of the mantra is what? Two birds, they bound to each other. They were close friendship. They perched on one the same tree. And one of them eats the fruits of the tree with relish, whereas the other one just looks on without eating. This mantra we have seen. So Jivatma and Paramatma, these are the two birds. They are located in the same tree. And Jivatma is as distinct from Paramatma. And the Upanishad specifically mentions the difference. Of the two, Jivatma experiences karma phalam. Eating refers to karma phalam, it experiences. And Paramatma, bird, witnesses Jivatma eating and enjoying it. It only witnesses as a non-participator. Here, what the Upanishad wants to reveal is, Paramatma or Jivatma? Same question. Yes, Shankaracharya says, Paramatma alone is the Tatpariyam and not Jivatma. The reason, what is the reason? Jivatma as an experiencer of karma palam. Upanishad need not reveal Jivatma. We know that every Jivatma is an experiencer of the karma palam only. We experience it daily. Upanishad need not have to tell that. The mantra reveals only Paramatma, which is distinct from the Bhoktru Jivatma. And Shankaracharya says, Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1, the mantra that we now talked about, it talks of Abhoktru Paramatma, Paramatma only, as distinct from Jivatma, the non-experiencer, non-eating bird, Abhoktru Paramatma. So if the previous mantra talks about Pradhanam Jivaha, then suddenly introducing Paramatma in this mantra will be out of context. So if the previous mantra talked about Pradhanam Jiva, then suddenly introducing Paramatma in this mantra will be out of context. So if you take Vishwadhara talks about Paramatma in 2.2.5 of Mundaka that we just saw, and if this mantra continues Paramatma topic alone, then the flow will be fine without any jerk. It will be a jerky flow. This is the essence of the argument. Now let us go to the word analysis. We have to supply three words actually here as previously also. So Vishwadharaha, Na, Pranabrath. Pranabrath is Jivatma. All the time they are all trying to prove Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. Ajiva. Vishwadhara is not Jivatma. What is the reason? Stithi Adhanabhyam. Stithi Adhanabhyam. It is a compound word. Stithi Adhanabhyam. Stithi and Adhana. Stithi means non-participation. Keeping aloof. Remaining as a witness, that is the other bird, the Paramatma bird, remaining as a witness. And Vyasacharya, he keeps in mind mantra 3.1.1 of Mundaka Upanishad. The Dvasuparna, that mantra that we just read, that mantra, where Paramatma remaining anashnan anyaha abhichakashiti. He is not participating in eating the fruit. That witnesshood, the non-participation, the non-involvement, that is indicated by the word sthiti. And then adhanam, the next word adhanam, it is literally actually eating. But in this context, we can take it as participation or involvement. So when Vyasacharya uses the word, he keeps in mind the eating Jivatma bird as stated in the mantra in question, 3.1.1. Therefore, sthityadhanabhyam, because of the non-participation and participation. So the Paramatma and Jivatma, non-participation of Paramatma and participation of Jivatma, respectively. So in experiencing the karma palam, so Paramatma, non-experiencer of karma palam, because no such thing at all for Paramatma. And for Jivatma, it has to go through the karma palam. So as revealed in the mantra 3.1.1 of Mundaka Upanishad, this is the final meaning of this sutra. So Vishwadhara is not Jivatma due to what is stated just now. We just now said the explanation was given as from that other Mundaka Mantra. And how does it support us? We should remember the logic again. Only if the mantra 2.2.5 talks about Jiva Bhinna Paramatma. Jiva Bhinna Paramatma means Jivatma different from Paramatma. If that mantra 2.2.5 talks about that only, then this mantra also should talk about the same Jiva Bhinna Paramatma only. Therefore, Vishwadhara is Jiva Bhinna Paramatma Eva. It is different from Paramatma. This Paramatma is different from Jivatma. With this, the Dhyupvadi Adhikaranam is over. Dhyupvadi Adhikaranam, Dhyupvadi. We already explained Dhyup and all that thing. So with this, Dhyupvadi Adhikaranam is over now. Now let us see the summary of this Adhikaranam itself. So it has to follow the five factors that we have already seen. So Vishayaha, Vishayascheva, all that thing, that sutra we know. So Vishayaha means the subject matter. What is the subject matter of this sutra, this Adhikaranam? Vishwadhara is Paramatma and not Pradham. And second is Samshaya. Samshaya means the doubt. Vishwadhara is Paramatma or Pradhanam. According to Sankhya philosophy, that is or Jivatma. So this is the doubt. And why this doubt? So Vishwadhara is doubted because Pradhanam is basic matter of the universe. Pradhanam also is basic matter. So it could be the entire universe would have come from that matter. And then the Purvapaksha is what? It can be the cause of Jagat. It can be the cause of Jagat, Jagat Karanam. Vishwadhara is also taken as Jivatma on the basis of the word Atma in the third line of the Upanishad statement. So that is also another Purvapaksha. One Purvapaksha is Vishwadhara can be Jagat Karanam. Pradhanam also is now trying to argue that way. Vishwadhara is also taken as Jivatma on the basis of the word Atma in the third line of Upanishad statement. Jivatma can be justified as Vishwadhara because the whole world comes into being for the benefit of whom? For the Jivas. For the Jivas to go through their Punya Papa Karma, Karma Palam, the entire world comes into existence. World does not have any Punyam or Papam itself. It is for the Jivas to go through that Punya Papa experiences. It comes into being to exhaust the Punya Papa of Jivas. For the world, there is no Karma Palam because it is Achetana Vastu. World is Achetanam. So where is Karma Palam for it? So if the world has to come, for whose sake it has to come? It comes to give the Sukham and Dukkham, those Anubhavas for the Jivatma. Hence Jivatma is responsible for arrival of the universe. And when Prarabdha is exhausted, the whole world goes away. And Vishwadhara can be taken as Vayum because of the Upanishadic statement in Brihadaranyaka. Namely, because of Vayu, the whole world survives. Just as Prana is supporter of the individual being, so Vayu is the supporter of the universe. That was the argument. And then comes the Purvapakshi. So anything that is wrong, Purvapakshi brings in. Whatever is wrong, only he says. He says, Vishwadhara is Pradhanam or it should be Jivatma. That is the question. So, Sarva Srishti Hetutvat. Even Bhagavad Gita also, all the scriptures support all this. Jivatma alone brings the world through his karma. Vishwadhara is Vayu because of the Brihadaranyaka mantra. So, with this, the third factor, namely Purvapakshi is also over. So, Purvapakshi also, we have seen subject matter. We have seen the doubt. And also the Purvapakshi's views. Now the fourth factor is Siddhanta. Siddhanta, Vedantin, what he says? Vishwadhara is Paramatma or Brahman only. And the reasons are said in the first two sutras. One reason is Upanishad itself uses the word Sarvagya. And it can neither be inert nor Pradhanam, nor it can be Vayu or Jiva. It is only Sarvagya, Sarvavitim, Brahman alone. Pradhanam can never be destination. It has been Brahman alone. And the next five sutras, Vyasa Acharya negated Vayu, Jivaha, all those vadas, all those arguments he negated. And therefore it concluded, Vishwadhara is Paramatma only. Then the fifth factor is Sangatihi. All the five factors, fifth factor is Sangatihi, the position of this Adhikaranam is rightly positioned. As I told, it's a technical reason. We won't go into the details. We only say it is placed in the appropriate place. That is in the first chapter, in the third pada, and all that. With this adhikarana, first adhikarana of the third pada is also over. And now let us go to the next adhikaranam called Bhumadhikarana. Bhumadhikaranam. Bhuma is Brahman. We have already seen Bhuma Vidya in Chandogya Upanishad in detail. Bhuma Samprasadatim Adyupadeshat. That is the sutra. This is the eighth sutra of the third pada. 71st running sutra, Brahma Sutra. Bhuma Samprasadatim Adyupadeshat. This is called Bhumadhikaranam. So this is a small adhikaranam with two sutras only. And the first sutra begins with the word Bhuma. That's why it's called Bhumadhikaranam. And here Vyasacharya analyzes the Chandogya mantra of the 7th chapter, 24th section, first mantra, 7.24.1. The mantra, what it says? Yatra nanyat pasyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sa bhuma. Ata yatra anyat pasyati, anyat shrunoti, anyat vijanati, tad alpam. Yovai bhuma, tat amrdam. Ata yad alpam, tad martyam, sa bhagavaham, kasbin pratishtita iti. Sve mahimni yadiva yadivana mahimniti. That is a mantra. We have seen this mantra in great detail when we did Chandogya. First, let us see the meaning of the mantra. It is known as what mantra? Bhuma Lakshana mantra. The word Bhuma means Brahma in Chandogya. So it is Brahma Lakshana mantra, and this gives the definition of Brahman. Brahman is that in which no seer sees. Anything with the seeing instrument. Seer means anything with the seer instrument, not just only a person. No hearer hears, anything with the hearing instrument doesn't hear. And Brahman is that in which the Triputi is absent. The three factors. What are the three factors? Triputi. Subject, object, and instrument. This is called the Triputi, and that is absent in Brahman. Brahman is that in which the Triputi is absent. And we can define perhaps Brahman as Nirvikalpa. Since it is Advitiyam, it is Anandam also. And the final meaning is, it is infinite. Then the Upanishad says, wherever Triputi is, duality is, that is Alpam. Savikalpam. Sadvayam Vastu is Alpam, which means finite. Then the mantra says, Bhuma is infinite. That which is finite is subject to end. And we add that Yatu Bhuma Tat Sukham. Bhuma is Sukhaswarupam. And Alpam is Dukkha Swarupam. And Bhuma is supporter of anything and itself is unsupported. It is an unsupported supporter of all. This is the meaning. Now let us see the background in which the mantra has come. This occurs in the 7th chapter, as I told you, which is called the Bhuma Vidya chapter. Here, the word Brahman is replaced by the word Bhuma. And the 7th chapter begins with the student Narada. And the teacher, Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara is the teacher and Narada is the student. And Narada tells Sanat Kumara, I have learned everything in my life. I know Vedas, I know Vedangas, all those I know. But what is the tragedy? I am an educated person, all right, but I am an educated, miserable person. All knowledge has not brought any change in me at all. Who says? Narada says. Previously, I was an ignorant, miserable person, and now I am knowledgeable, miserable person. I have heard Shokam Tarati Atmavit. I have heard this. I have heard Atmavit, Brahmavit, Novara Brahman. He crosses over sorrow. Brahmavit Apunoti Param. I have heard all that. Atma means the biggest one. Atma is Bhuma. The biggest one is Atma. Infinite is Atma. Bhuma is Atma. So the Novara Bhuma will cross over sorrow. I have heard all that. So teach me the biggest thing in creation. The teacher does not really want to show the biggest thing to him because human mind is very small, cannot conceptualize the biggest thing. So Narada, even though asks him to show the biggest thing, teacher doesn't show the biggest thing. He introduces series of things. Each one is bigger than the previous. This is called Arundhati Darshan Nyaya. This was called, but we don't go into that. So first item is Nama, the name. And the last one is Asha, desire, Kama. So this comes in the 7th chapter, section 1 to 14. Nama is big, Vak is bigger, and still bigger, and still bigger, and all that he goes on telling. Sanat Kumara tells Narada. And in this series, Asha is the biggest one as Bhuma. Asha, there is no limit to Asha. Nama is Bhuma, Vak is Bhuma, Manaha Bhuma, Asha is the biggest one. And in the 15th section, he says, life principle is bigger than all the 14. And prana is introduced as the 15th item. That is infinite. And that is sarvam, vishwadharam, and prana sustains everything. The story part, I'm telling, just summarizing the story part. The Upanishad also says, whoever knows prana, he knows the biggest thing in creation. Pranavadi is adivadi. It calls him by a title, adivadi. I'll finish in a couple of minutes. And one who knows and speaks about prana knows the biggest thing in creation. So the Upanishad deals with prana tattvam elaborately also at that time. We have seen all this in great detail. And in the 16th section, he says, pranavadi is not adivadi. He is only apekshika adivadi. And one who knows and talks about Brahman alone is adivadi. Gives the title now, it changed the title now. Adivadi is, instead of pranavadi, he has to the brahmavadi. So mischief is that what? First he says prana is the biggest thing and dwells on that topic elaborately, and suddenly he says Brahman is the biggest. And the confusion is what? Prana is dealt with so elaborately, and in that says Brahman is the biggest, which it does very casually. When we went through Chandogya, all these things we enjoyed it at that time. And I enjoyed. So from 17th to 23rd section, various sadhanas were prescribed. And there is one sentence about Brahmavadi while prana is talked about elaborately. So in the 24th section, we get the definition of the biggest of the biggest thing. This is called by the name Bhuma. It's a common noun, the biggest. Biggest is said to be Triputi Rahitam. The Upanishad does not clearly say that it is biggest, whether it refers to prana or Brahman in the 16th section. Now our question is what? All this story is fine. Why this finds a place in Brahma Sutra, we should understand. Unless there is a controversy, it won't come here, as I told you earlier. The question is, which is the biggest, prana or Bhuma is the biggest? In the absence of any clear-cut definition, had the Upanishads used the word Brahman, then there is no problem. But it used the word Bhuma. There would not be any problem if Brahman was used. But it has not done so. Hence alone, this sutra has found a place in Brahma Sutra. So this is the general background to this Adhikaranam. And we will do the general analysis of the first sutra in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedantecha pratishtitaha tasya prakatilina saya parasamaheshwaraha. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.